From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has called upon all ulemas to partake in COVID-19 handling efforts by addressing the issue of public distrust in the government's mitigating the impacts of the pandemic. The Vice President stated in a press release received in Jakarta on Tuesday that disasters and ordeals from God amid the pandemic are misused by certain parties as tools to create chaos. This is the duty of ulemas to protect them from the attempts to create distrust. He highlighted that apart from the pandemic's impacts on the health, economic, and social sectors, another challenge faced by the government was distrust that potentially emerges in the community. Amin is upbeat about the ulemas playing an active role in safeguarding the Indonesian nation from the dangers of irresponsible issues. Minister of Investment Bahlil Lahadalia in an online press conference on Tuesday said his working visit to the United States in mid-July was to boost the realization of foreign investments. He claimed to have obtained investment commitments from a number of renowned companies such as Microsoft, Upland Lighting, and Cargill. The meeting between himself and Vice President of Azure Global Microsoft, Mark Jacobson, aimed to build a commitment of realizing data center in Indonesia. Minister Lahadalia urged the general public and activists to understand the government's attempt in increasing investment in Indonesia amid the pandemic, which he asserted is solely aimed to maintain economic stability. The Indonesian government has set a goal of 900 trillion rupiah in foreign investments by the end of this year. The Embassy of Peru in Indonesia is hosting a series of events to commemorate its 2 centuries of independence. One of the events is a formal ceremony for Peru's Independence Day, which is held virtually on July 28, 2021, from the Peruvian Embassy residence. Representing the government of the Republic of Indonesia, the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Igusti Ayu Bintang Darmawati, conveys her congratulations on this important event. In addition, the ceremony includes a leading cultural performance showcasing Peruvian food, culture, traditions, history, music performances, and 3 traditional Peruvian dances. In a press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, Charges the Affairs at Interim of the Embassy of Peru in Indonesia, Francisco Guterres Figueroa, stressed that this series of events will strengthen diplomatic relations between Peru and Indonesia. Peru views Indonesia as one of the key countries in the Asia-Pacific region and has consistently highlighted its strong desire to enhance and further develop bilateral relations. Commercially, bilateral relations have also paid off. During the 2020 May 2021 period, the total trade between the two countries increased 50.08% from about $95 million to about $140 million. Now we move to the international news. A 62-year-old Australian was sentenced to 3 years and 6 months in prison by the country's court for attempting to sell missile parts on behalf of North Korea in violation of international sanctions, the Australian Federal Police, or AFP, said on Tuesday. The AFP said in a press release that the man was arrested following an extensive investigation by the AFP, which uncovered evidence the man was acting as an economic agent of North Korea, generating income for the government through his facilitation of various commodities to and from North Korea. The man pleaded guilty earlier this year to contravening sanctions. Russian interagency delegation headed by Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov arrived in Geneva, where talks with the United States on strategic stability took place on Wednesday, a Sputnik correspondent reported. Before the consultations, the Russian Foreign Ministry stressed that the delegations will discuss issues of maintaining and strengthening strategic stability, as well as the prospects for arms control. The State Department added that such a dialogue with Russia should lay the foundation for the future arms control regime and measures to reduce risk. The U.S. delegation will be led by Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, warned on Tuesday that the slower than expected pace of coronavirus vaccinations may pose a risk to global economic growth. The IMF said in its updated World Economic Outlook that risks around the global baseline are to the downside. Slower than anticipated vaccine rollout would allow the virus to mutate further. The IMF said financial conditions could tighten rapidly if the trend persists and inflation expectation may increase quicker than anticipated. According to the report, a double hit to emerging market and developing economies from worsening pandemic dynamics and tighter external financial conditions would severely set back their recovery and drag global growth below this outlook's baseline. We end the news with 6 people who were killed in clashes between the Taliban, a terrorist group banned in Russia, and government troops supported by public uprising forces in Afghanistan's northeastern province of Kapisa. Tolo News reported on Tuesday, citing police. The militants are reported to have carried out several attacks in the Nijrab district after midnight, but the Afghan forces pushed them back in the morning. 2 civilians and 4 members of the public uprising forces were killed in the clashes. The security forces left key parts of the district 2 weeks ago, with several other districts also falling under Taliban control, according to the broadcaster. Hundreds of Nijrab residents have had to flee their homes. Violence in Afghanistan has been on the rise as foreign troops withdraw from the country. Well, listener, that was the news.
After a long feud, the United States is trying to improve relations with China through a diplomatic approach. At least, that's what the latest development in Washington-Beijing relations shows. Efforts to overcome the disharmony of relations between the two countries should be marked by the visit of the United States Deputy Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman, to China this weekend. Recently, there has been an escalation of tensions between Washington and Beijing regarding various sensitive issues. The United States, for example, has again questions the Chinese government's human rights violation against the Uyghur Muslims minority in Xinjiang. The United States Senate has even decided to ban imports from Xinjiang because there are suspicions that the Chinese government has carried out forced labor for Uyghur Muslims. The visit of Wendy Sherman came from an agreement with China on July 21, 2021, on the basis of consideration of the need for stability in relation between the two countries. The Chinese government, as said by its foreign ministry spokesman, Zhao Lijian, welcomed the visit and talks as a forum for consultation on various issues. However, Beijing has indicated it will resolutely refuse to discuss its internal affairs, particularly on policies in Xinjiang and principles regarding Taiwan. On Monday, China's Vice Foreign Minister Xi Feng urged the United States to stop cursing and demonizing China. Xi made the remark during talks with U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, who is on a visit to the northern Chinese port city of Tianjin from July 25th to 26. Xi even said, "Relations between the two countries are at an impasse and face serious difficulties, basically because the U.S. considers China as a shadow enemy." Based on the statement, it can be estimated that the restoration of good relations between China and the United States will still require time and further approaches. However, tensions and conflicts should indeed be addressed. This is important, because the feud of two big countries that have an impact on geopolitics and the world economy can have an impact on other countries.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on July 28, 1976 about Tangshan earthquake. Tangshan earthquake occurred on July 28, 1976, with a magnitude of 7.8 on the Richter scale. The epicenter of the earthquake was the city of Tangshan, an industrial city in China with about 1 million people. This earthquake is called the largest in the 20th century. More than 240,000 people died. More than 700,000 people were injured. The impact of this earthquake was fatal. The cities around the epicenter were completely destroyed. The shaking was also felt strongly in Beijing, forcing residents to stay outside that night. Moving on to an event on July 28, 2010 about the crash of AirBlue Flight 202. AirBlue Flight 202 crashed in the Margala Mountains on July 28, 2010 while flying from the city of Karachi to Islamabad in Pakistan. The accident killed all 152 passengers and crew. We end Today in History with an event on July 28 about World Hepatitis Day. World Hepatitis Day is observed every July 28. This warning aims to raise global awareness of Hepatitis B and Hepatitis C and encourage prevention, diagnosis, and treatment. About 500 million people worldwide are living with Hepatitis B or Hepatitis C. This date is taken from the birthday of Professor Baruch Samuel Blumberg, who first discovered the hepatitis B virus. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Cooperatives and Micro Small Medium Businesses Ministry signed an MOU with the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, or KPPU, on coordination on duty and authority implementation in partnership supervision on Monday. The scope of the MOU include task force information, data and information exchange, expert support, coordination, advocation, info dissemination, and other activities agreed by both sides. On the occasion, Cooperatives and MSMEs Minister Teten Mas Dukisat, based on the Micro and Small Industry Survey by the Statistics Indonesia, 93% of the MSMEs in Indonesia do not establish partnership with big companies. To develop further, MSMEs actually need to partner with big companies. But Teten Mas Duki also warned about MSMEs being devoured by big companies. Teten Mas Duki added, Indonesian MSMEs often lose the competition online and offline because they lack production capacity and competitiveness value. Therefore, the ministry will prepare Indonesian MSMEs to join in the supply chain concept. He further remarked, Indonesian micro, small, medium enterprises can follow the MSMEs abroad so that their products are not always chips, crackers, and dodol, but shifting into industrial components such as for automotive, electronics, and many more. Teten hoped the minister's cooperation with the Business Competition Supervisory Commission can be used to provide education for MSMEs partnering with big companies in creating a healthy competition and encouraging national economic restoration.
Kasih aku.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
If someone likes exotic natural tourism destination, there is a beautiful lake that they can visit in Bandung, Lake Sangyang Heuleut. This lake has clear green water that blends beautifully with large low cliffs around it. Between the rocks, visitors can find trees and green grass that refreshes their eyes. The high rocks are even used as a place for tourists to jump into the ancient lake. Lake Sangyang Heuleut is about 3 meters deep. Lake Sangyang Heuleut is believed to have originated from an ancient volcanic eruption, namely Mount Sunda. When Mount Sunda erupted, the eruption produced large rocks that formed like rock cliffs, while the basin in the middle was then drained by the Citarum River and formed a lake. One can swim, soak, just play in the water, or just enjoy the exotism of this lake. Around the lake, anyone can find 2 caves, namely Sanghyang Tikoro Cave and Sanghyang Poek. Sanghyang Heuleut has a unique meaning. Sanghyang means something that is considered secret, and Heuleut means a pause, a limit of something or time. In the ancient Sundanese language, the term Sanghyang was intended to honor someone or something that is considered secret or has supernatural powers. Unsurprisingly, the local residents believe that Lake Sanghyang Heuleut is often used as a place for angels to purify themselves and bathe. Besides its beautiful and magical name, this lake has its own hidden and secluded location. Lake Sanghyang Heuleut is located in Raja Mandala Kulon, Cipatat District, West Bandung Regency, West Java Province. It is located not so far from the Saguling Hydropower Plant, but to get there, someone needs a prime body condition because the terrain is quite steep and dominated by rocks. When it rains, these rocks will be very slippery. Therefore, it would be better for visitors to come during the dry season. Not only because the terrain will be easier because it is not muddy and watery, but also because the lake water will also look clearer. This place is appropriate for taking pictures to get photos with the best views. While on Lake Sanghyang Heuleut, visitors have to climb to its highest peak. To be able to reach the peak, they will take about 1.5 until 2 hours of trekking, so they can prepare for adventure. Of course, they must obey the health protocols. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Jangan tanyakan mengapa.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between The Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about transportasi, which means transportation. Stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Aku Biasanya Naik Transportasi Umum, which means I usually take public transportation. This dialogue is between Kevin and Mela at Transjakarta bus stop. They are waiting for Transjakarta bus. Let's listen to the conversation.
Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor?
Biasanya aku naik transportasi umum.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Biasanya, biasanya, which means usually. Naik apa, which means what do you take? Transportasi umum, which means public transportation. Kendaraan pribadi, which means private vehicle. Motor, which means motorcycle. Ke kantor, which means to the office. Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor, which means how do you usually go to the office? Biasanya aku naik transportasi umum, which means I usually take public transportation. In the dialogue, you hear Kevin say, Aku biasanya naik transportasi umum. Aku biasanya naik transportasi umum, which means I usually take public transportation. In the expression, there is the word biasanya. Biasanya, which means usually. It is used to state habit. It can be said before or after a pronoun. For example, biasanya aku naik transportasi umum. Biasanya aku naik transportasi umum. Which means, usually, I take public transportation. Or, aku biasanya naik transportasi umum. Aku biasanya naik transportasi umum. Which means, I usually take public transportation. Let's listen to the other examples to state habit. Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor? Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor? Which means, how do you usually go to the office? Biasanya, aku pakai kendaraan pribadi. Biasanya aku pakai kendaraan pribadi, which means I usually go by private vehicle. Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor, which means how do you usually go to the office? Biasanya aku bawa motor, which means usually I go by motorcycle. In the example, Mela says biasanya aku bawa motor, which means usually I go by motorcycle. The word bawa, which means take in the sentence, means she rides the bike to go to the office. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kamu biasanya naik apa ke kantor?
Biasanya aku naik transportasi umum.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Saja sedihmu itu.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present a song from Maluku entitled Hiyoko Tobelo 2. The song Hiyoko Tobelo 2 has added a list of energetic songs from Eastern Indonesia after Poco Poco and Gemu Famire. Composed by Kelvin Fordatkosu, Hiyoko Tobelo 2, or also well known as Goyang Tobelo, is often played or sung in many events to call for the people to sing and dance together. The song is popularized by Yopi Latul. In spite of the cheerful tone, the lyrics of Hiyoko Tobelo 2 are an expression of longing for their hometown and relatives in Tobelo City. The lyrics also mention that Tobelo has many kinds of cultural customs and tolerance. Well, listener, here is the song Hiyoko Tobelo 2 by Yopi Latul, MCP Cecilia and Chevin Shahaila Tua. Happy listening. This is what DJ.
Kali ini
Voice of Indonesia.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.